episode 184. Welcome to Steel and Nats, presented by HedgeBetter. Today is Wednesday, March 19th. We are sponsored by the law offices of Patrick J. Foley, located at 265 Willard Street, Quincy, Massachusetts. If you're looking for proper legal representation, closing down, you know, a real estate deal or something like that, you know, first-time home buyers, reach out to our guy. Look no further than Patrick J. Foley.
Absolutely.
A lot on the horizon tonight. We've been kind of going bi-weekly since the football season has ended. A lot of football stuff on the horizon with the free agency signings, the NFL draft coming up. A lot of stuff going on. Also, Bruins trades that happened all last week. Marchand got dealt to Florida. Coyle over to Colorado. Carlo to Toronto. A lot of different stuff there. We'll have our takes on that if they did it the right way. Five questions presented by PJF. We'll have to. I wrote up five more. We'll see if they were better than 2 weeks ago. I think they were.
Hopefully.
Yeah, they weren't bad. And then to bury, I guess, the co-lead here, the MLB season preview, Major League Baseball regular season actually started technically yesterday from Japan, but the real shit doesn't start till next week. So we'll give our little previews on the Sox Yanks, who we think the World Series matchup's going to be, along with our MVP picks. Boldest takes, you name it, we got it. Little March Madness chatter, since it is like we are on the eve of the madness of the first day of the tournament, which is
best weekend of the year.
Best weekend of the year, hot take. Little Celtics recap, maybe a movie TV show review. Kind of covered everything there. But what do you want to start with?
Oh, let's get some football talk.
Some football talk. Okay, so the Patriots, they had, you know, over 100 to 200 mil, I'd say over 100 mil in, you know, spending money, and they took full advantage of it, getting Milton Williams?
Yes.
Milton Williams, I think a $26 to $28 million deal. Then you got Carlton Davis to go aside with Christian Gonzalez there.
Wonderful.
In the corner. Couple linebackers, Spillane, the guy Landry from Tennessee, a lot of Mike Vrabel, like, roots.
Mike Vrabel ass dudes.
Yep. The big question was, what?
Josh Dobbs.
Josh Dobbs. Oh, yeah. Talking about burying the lead.
Buddy.
Burying the lead again. I was going to say they didn't really make a lot of moves offensively, but Josh Dobbs was, you know, priority number one.
Yeah, naturally.
had to bring up from our first ever episode. We were debating, what team were they on? They were on Jacksonville, and they were debating who was going to start, Gardner Minshew or Josh Dobbs. And I think everyone was on Minshew. I stuck with Dobbs because he lost me so much money I couldn't go against him.
Yeah, but what a debate that was.
Yeah.
That was a real thing that happened in real life.
Yeah, I know. Well, that's fucking crazy.
Incredible stuff.
Yeah, it makes you, like, does that make backup there more expendable, Joe Milton?
Yes, definitely. And I mean, when you see, like, I think Joe Milton's pretty good. You see teams, some of the asking prices, they're like down to trade whatever like for him.
Well, a reporter of the Patriots were asking for a third round pick. Remind you, he was a sixth round pick from a year ago. I think his stock can only go up.
Yeah, 100%.
Like, I think you're better off keeping him at least another season. I mean, he's going to have two more years on his deal after that. Mm-hmm. Regardless, that's just like how it goes. So if he's able like to get some backup action, or even just like he like shines in the preseason, like that could go up to it too easy.
Oh, absolutely. And especially when you got the running quarterback, it's great to have options. Obviously you don't want to see it, but like running quarterbacks tend to get hurt more. So,
and people are getting frustrated with, you know, not getting, you know, left tackle, releasing, but we'll get to that, releasing your center and, you know, not getting a wide receiver one yet, but that's what Vrabel kind of did in Tennessee. He really relied on his defense, but had a strong running game. I think Stevenson had an off year. He's destined for, you know, a better year this season, come around, playing ground and pound. I mean, the defense all up and down the roster was, you know, pitiful last season. The surprise was how bad the defense was. It'd be nice to see, you know, with all those additions, this defense comes into fruition.
Yes. I mean, the biggest takeaway I think from all of it is like, this is a team actively trying to change shit.
Yeah.
Like they're trying to do something. Like
last
year was like, they went over, but they didn't fucking do anything. They just got a new coach. They did draft Drake May, but then it was like, did nothing really to move the needle. This is incredible. This is a team that is trying to get better, trying to actually win a few games, do something.
No, that it like reminds me, What the Giants have done this year is re-sign all their players, which is exactly what the Patriots did last year. Like, the Giants are going to be a dump. By the end of this year, all those guys will be fired. I feel like people are, like, tapping them on the back saying, like good job. You signed the same guys. Like, last year we signed Josh Uche, who got traded, you know, midway through the season. You signed a bunch of different guys. I know Jabril Peppers got paid, and he'll be good. I mean, I think he got resolved of his situation there. But seems like they've really gone out of their comfort zone and, you know, given people some big money. Well-deserved.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And, I mean, after that Super Bowl run, I mean, Milton certainly looks like fucking.
Yeah, I mean, had the game of his life.
He's still got to perform going forward now that he's paid. But
how about that, though? He was basically in the Carolina Panthers' hands, and we just stole him at the last second. But if you do look at that, if you don't get Milton Williams, like, yeah, you made some improvements on defense, but that he's really like the home run.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, he was on the top of all the list for like best defensive free agents.
Yeah, and then on offensive side, they cut David Andrews. Seems to be having, you know, really bad shoulder injuries. It has to come down to, you know, being injured, because he said today he came out on, of course, everyone has a podcast, came out saying that, you know, he was shocked by it. So, I mean, it was definitely surprising. They moved in a different direction. They picked up that guy Bradberry, who got cut from the Vikings, kind of just a filler. See how that goes. And, yeah, hopefully someone's going to protect Greg Mann this year.
Yeah, no, I mean, it sucks to see, because, I mean, what a fucking legend Andrews is. Like, absolute stud. I mean, every time he was there when we won a Super Bowl, I mean, he was, like, the most electric person at the parade.
Two-time Super Bowl champion, 9-10 years, basically captain the last 5 years of this team.
But he's had some serious injuries, serious injuries. And I think, like, they were just like, we need someone out there, you know?
I hope if he's able to continue, he thrives wherever he goes. That's a big shout out to that guy. 100%. My favorite memory of him is when Burkhead ran in for the touchdown on Arrowhead to send him the Super Bowl. He was saying, bye-bye, see ya.
Fucking love it.
To all the fans, it was great.
Love it.
It was great. So offensively, they're still looking for, you know, why right now at this current moment, Hollins, who they signed from Buffalo, who shout out to Hollins. Also shout out to T. Fortin Barnes, who we had on the show during AFC Championship Sunday. She's a diehard Bills fan. Said nothing but good things about Hollins. And he honestly did catch some good balls in some crunch time games in the playoffs.
And we need a character.
Yeah.
You need some character in there.
But if you're looking at it, him and Kayshon Boutte, are they the ones? And then you have Pop Douglas, you know, born kind of slot guys.
Oh, yeah. No, the receiving room's still putrid.
Still putrid.
Like, it's not good.
I have the available free agents right now. You got leading the way, Stephon Diggs, Keenan Allen, Amari Cooper, Brandon Cooks, Deontay Johnson, Tyler Lockett. That's really what there is. That's all. That's really, I'm really looking at the rest of this list. That's really all that's out there right now. Just out of the gate, I don't think Stephon Diggs is an option for this team. He's kind of just like a win now guy, big time diva wide receiver. Like, if you were to look up diva wide receiver in the dictionary, he'll probably pop up. Keenan Allen kind of went through it with Chicago last year of, you know, we should have been better than we were, but, you know, solid guy on the goal line. I didn't realize how big he was until, like, he actually got on a team where I actually watched their games. I mean, he'll probably be a Hall of Famer. Like,
somehow guarantee that he'd be healthy, I'd be all in. But, like, he'd probably get hurt, and then we're just back to what we have fucking now anyway.
Yeah, and then these other two guys, I'm kind of high on to take one or two, like one of the two or whatever. But Amari Cooper, who kind of had a bit of a down year with Buffalo, but I think that's more of a situational getting comfortable. If you bring Amari Cooper to this offense, he's immediately going to be the number one receiver.
By miles.
I don't know if he's going to play as a like wide receiver one, but he'll put up good numbers. And another guy I look at who has been on probably every team in the NFL like by now, Brandon Cooks, you could probably get him for pretty cheap. And he has, you know, he's tied in with, he played for the Patriots, I think that 1 year they went Super Bowl and lost. But again, that's what you're looking at right now. You're not really looking at any of these, you know, tier one wide receivers in free agency.
No, fuck no.
Yeah. So then my counter of doing that is
Nelson Agholor on that list.
Yeah, Nelson Agholor, Josh Reynolds, DJ Shark, Tyler Boyd, Jameson Crowder, Gunnar Olszewski.
Gunnar. Let's
keep
go.
Keep going. Low Jordan Humphrey on the block. And he has a market value. Some of these guys, they just don't give market values to. Low Jordan's got that market value.
Love that. Yeah. Respect.
I did find it surprising. Like, yeah, last year, Stephon Diggs, you know, market value was $22.5 million. This year, they're predicting at like $13-14 million, which means he's just
it's a tough
that
year.
Injury killed him.
Yeah.
I found that fascinating. But it leads you to the draft, because if you look at all the good receivers in the league right now, they were drafted by the team they're on for the most part, outside of, you know, a couple of these veteran wide receivers, or at least they had like a great, you know, 5 to 7 years. You talk about Devontae Adams with Green Bay, even Cooper Kupp with the Rams, who just got signed by the Seahawks. I'm looking at the tankathon here. They like made a whole mock draft. Everything is pointing towards, you know, the Titans need a quarterback. The Browns could use a quarterback. Who knows what they're going to do with number two pick. The Giants, absolutely, to save the GM's job, to save the head coach's job, need to take quarterback. So Cam Ward, Shedeur Sanders have to be going two out of the three here if nothing's traded in the top three. That leads to me to believe that Travis Hunter will be there at four. And I think this is like a no-brainer for the Patriots to take. I think Travis Hunter is your guy, and if not, if Travis Hunter's not there and Abdul Carter is, you take him. I just think you at that point, you take the best player available. That's not a, you know, I think you got enough in the defensive line, and I don't think there's a guy in the draft in offensive for an offensive tackle to take at number four, trading down. So my two picks here would be Travis Hunter or McMillan from Arizona, because I think you need to try getting, you know, a locked in top 10 in the draft wide receiver.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. I agree. I would I'd much rather Travis Hunter. I'm not 100% on Arizona McMillan.
Yeah. Ran under a 4.5 the other day.
Yeah, N'Keal Harry had good tape too, dude.
He was a big specimen. I don't blame Bill for that. That's on Harry.
I know. Yep. I know. But that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. As in, I would take Hunter. I would absolutely take Abdul Carter as well.
Well, and then I actually thought it like the other day too. Okay, so it was a Derek Stingley just got $30 million a year from Houston to play corner.
Yeah.
So after this year, Christian Gonzalez is going to be going to a contract year. Are you really going to want to pay him $30 million, or are you going to want to have a guy who can play both ways on a rookie contract, aside from a guy who Carlton Davis, who you just signed for 3 years? Travis, that's another reason why I think this Travis Hunter pick, if he's there at four, is a no-brainer.
Especially because he can focus much more on the receiver aspect on our team, because now that we have two corners,
yeah,
like he'd basically be corner three, so he'd probably just be in like packages and stuff like that. He wouldn't be out there every play.
I think on both sides, and I think this guy, realistically, I think he has a set of skills where he can do both. I'm fully convinced he's gonna do both.
Yeah. Oh, he's gonna try. I mean, this shit's harder.
I think the NFL, though, they make, you know, enough packages to where he's coming in, whether it's, like I said, whether it's a slot on third down, you know, coming in, making a big play over the middle, or, you know, he's only 6 foot, but he could be a potential, you know, separation guy at the goal line, you know, a couple touchdowns going there. And then on the other side, corner, again, bringing in the hot stuff on third downs. When you need a big third down stop, there's a, you know, throw deep, there's a throw out, you know, throwing outs or inward, he can be there, make a play. I think, you know, it sucked losing Jonathan Jones to the Commanders, especially because I think he only got paid like $6 million a year. But this is probably your next best option. You have two corners, bringing in a third one who can play both ways. I think it's a slam dunk. Like, if I'm the Browns and I just signed Myles Garrett to like a all-time contract, and your decision's Abdul Carter or Travis Hunter, I think it's pretty easy. You take Hunter. But I think they're fully set on – I don't even know what the Browns have said on that. I think the Browns hold like the cards for the draft right now. I'm sold on that.
The Cleveland Browns might pick someone that's not in that top 10.
Yeah.
There's nothing like there's fucking.
They're building a new stadium now. You see Browns. That? Building
good.
New stadium.
That place was a shithole.
It actually wasn't a bad ballpark.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not giving it to him.
Awful tailgating spot. I don't know, burying some shit, but that's for a different day.
On air.
Yeah. Patriots.
Hey, making moves you love to see.
Yeah, looking better defensively. Hey, to your point, they're doing things that we haven't seen. They're actually spending some money because they have to. Not even because they want to. They have to.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And the draft should be interesting. Also, shout out the U, number one overall pick.
Number one old. Yeah. Yeah. This is he was like projected to be like a top 15. And then it's just crazy how the draft works. He just immediately goes number one without having, I think he just had his pro day like yesterday. That was the first time he like showcased anything.
Well, a lot, like I saw a lot of things that like Shedeur Sanders, they were like, this guy's kind of a douche.
Yeah.
they were like, well, this guy's just kind of a
comes with a lot of baggage.
No, absolutely.
Whether he's a good guy or not, probably is a good guy, but like,
oh, yeah, obviously, that's the Deion reports and whatnot. Obviously, his head's huge. He's Deion Sanders' fucking son.
Yeah.
Like,
and he's a quarterback. He's the
sexiest
position in sports. But yeah, looking like draft next month, Travis Hunter, get him.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think probably closes. We're talking about football right now on March 19th. The sport that's going on right now, there's a big playoff chase for the wild card spots in the Eastern Conference. The Bruins still find themselves only, I think, 4 points back with about 13 games to go. But they traded away their pieces. Their goal was to make playoffs, but it's not going to help with trading away these guys. A couple of the returns were pretty good. Coyle, you get that, fast skater is a Milt. What's his name?
Middlestead.
Yeah, he's played pretty good so far.
He's looking kind
of small, but a quick guy that we need. We're kind of, you know, staying flat. I even think the Brandon Carlo trade was pretty good. You get a first rounder. I think you got a good prospect too. And that's with the NHL. I don't remember half these names until they actually play.
Yeah, you gotta get out there.
And then the Brad Marchand trade, by the way, this was all, it was the 4 o'clock trade deadline. This all happened right after the 4 o'clock. I'm not saying that it was like but it was right at the fucking time there. They got dealt a second round conditional pick in like 2 years. I remember us saying 2 weeks ago when, you know, this was a topic of conversation that unless you get a first rounder, unless you get something that's worth it, don't do it. I realized that they were far apart from, you know, negotiations on a contract extension. But you were never going to see that conditional second round pick play in a Bruins sweater. I'm telling you right now.
No, that is I fully understand the like break it up trade, Brad. You got to do all that. I get that. Like, don't use your heart, like, mentality. That trade sucks, every part of it.
Yeah.
Your captain went to the team that's beat you twice, 2 years in a row.
Yeah.
That you fucking hate.
And that was his own doing. He wanted to go to Florida.
Yeah. And that's fine. But that's still, it happened.
Yeah.
That's where he is.
Yeah.
And then you get fucking nothing back.
Nothing.
A fucking conditional pick.
And it probably came down to him being hurt. Like, that was probably the decipher and what we were going to get back. But I'm telling you, like, if that... it's on the table, that's what you're gonna take for him.
Because it does get weird. I don't have it in front of me, but it's like if he plays like 50% of like their playoff
then
games
get a
or
first
some
round
shit,
and
some shit like that, it gets weird.
Yeah, but
I don't
it,
have it in front
at
of
the end of the day is like, did that really make your team better dealing him away? I realized that they weren't gonna do shit this year, but keeping him around at least for the rest of the season, then if he wants to sign elsewhere. I just think it was a bonehead. They handled it the wrong way. It was a bonehead move. And like, I'm not saying, oh, I wanted to keep Marchand because, you know, he's a homer like that. But if that's all you're going to get, then why make the move? Makes no sense.
Yeah. I feel like they were like, they got good returns on Coyle and fucking Carlo. And then they were just kind of like, all right, dude, go like win the cup or something.
Yeah.
Like fucking, and hopefully.
And I would love to know what the other off, because obviously he had his choice. He picked Florida, but I'm sure at least half the league called about him.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
I wonder what their best offer would have been. And I am glad they let him go where he wants to go, that he deserves that all day. But I'm just saying, what would have been the best return from another team? That's a million-dollar question in itself.
Yeah. Hopefully he signs back.
Yeah, I doubt that.
That's a real thing.
Yeah. Brad Marchand, 63 in the rafters, no matter what.
100%.
They went on a two-game win streak against Florida and Tampa. Everyone thought we were back, and then they've lost three in a row. The other night to Buffalo in overtime. They're on a West.
Yeah, they start West tomorrow.
It kind of determines their season. Right now, sitting, I think I was right when standing off the cuff there, but sitting with 69 points in 69 games. I mean, that's just consistency. That's pretty mid. Sitting right now 4 points behind Montreal, who has two games ahead of you. You're going to have to make a run. You're going to have to win a lot of games in a row just to make it.
Yeah, fucking, that's tough scheduling. Like, not even how the year went, though, but, like, the West Coast trip, like, this late in the year. Like, that's tough. Like, even when we were really good, like, a West Coast trip, like, the last 2 weeks of the season, like, that sucks.
Yeah, so they get Vegas on the road Thursday night, tomorrow night. And they get San Jose, who's had a tough year. LA's had a pretty good year. I think Anaheim's up and down. Haven't really had good teams. And then you have Detroit, who's right in the race. And then after that, you should pretty much know where we're going to be at, because then you have games versus Montreal, Carolina, New Jersey, Washington, all teams who right now, if the season ended today, would be in the Eastern Conference playoffs. So if you can at least, you know, salvage, call it, you know, this five-game road trip, you go 3-1-1, I think that gives you at least an opportunity to stay in the race come April.
You love to see it's been a while since, like, other than just pure rivalry, that a Bruins Canadiens game, like, mattered.
Yeah, they're
love that.
I think they're like 7-1-2 their last 10 games, Montreal. So they're on kind of a hot streak. First time seeing that in a long time. They've been so irrelevant for a long time now.
No, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like that rivalry has just been like the ghost in like the rafters for like several years.
Would love to see. That's too early to determine, but
we got to see what happens.
No, if we were to like, I wish we were playing like the last game and like Montreal, if they won, they were in. If they lost, they were out, and like we somehow fucked them up. But Joe Sacco, I don't expect him to return next year. I'd be surprised. I mean, they let Sweeney have so many chances. I would be surprised if they get rid of him too, and you know, clean house, because I think they would have, you know, already been on the lines of that already. But you never know, man. This team is a pretty young team, doesn't really have an identity outside of David Pastrnak. Jeremy Swayman, who's, you know, his press conferences have been awful, just like blaming his own team, saying that I think they lost like 6-2 the other night, and he was just like, yeah, two were pulled goals. The other four goals I didn't really see, so I couldn't really. He was saying stuff like that where I just don't really like his attitude after, you know, this team's been. Give you a nice commitment of 8 years over 8.5 AAV. So,
they lost in overtime, but Corpusalo on his head in that fucking Buffalo game.
That's what
they should have lost 6-2.
That's what I will say. Outside of the one of the games. Both goalies have played well. Even like they got dominated last Saturday. Whoever they played, Swayman still played pretty well.
Yeah, no,
there was one game he got benched. He sucked that game. That was like, I have to go back and look. I think it was the Ottawa game. He got sat. But either way, Tampa beat the shit out of you.
Yeah, I mean, when you're down to probably your best defenseman, and then you got, you know, you trade your captain. You lost some glue guys.
Your first line right now is Pavel Zacha, Morgan Geeky, and David Pastrnak. Don't get me wrong. Morgan Geeky's had a great year.
Hell of a year.
But that's your first line, man.
Yeah, not looking good.
I don't know.
It's not looking good.
Time to go watch MAHL, see what the other guys can do. Bruins on that.
Still got to believe, though.
Yeah. There's nothing really better than playoff hockey. I'm not going to, like, we haven't not been in the playoffs in a long time, as long as I can remember. Would be tough to miss it. Rooting for the boys, though. Charlie Coyle. Can't root for Carlo playing for Tampa. I'm on Toronto. But
yeah, that too. Another one. You know, like, two trades to fucking. And division rivals.
Yeah, I saw like an ESPN headline when I came in here tonight and said cup preview, because they might be playing tonight, the Avalanche versus the Maple Leafs. I was like, all right, maybe the first half there, slow your fucking roll on Toronto making the cup.
Why? Because they got Brandon Carlo. Their fucking 60-year curse is going to fucking end because they traded for
cider,
Brandon Carlo.
For the cider.
Fucking doubt it.
I told you, I turned down the Buffalo tickets on Monday. Couldn't do it.
Yeah, guess what, Maple Leaf Square? You're going to fucking exit sad.
Yeah.
Just like every other year.
Speaking of getting a little... No, we're not getting sad. We're staying positive here. But right now, we're going to lead you to the five questions presented by the Law Offices of Patrick J. Foley. You know where the legal proper representation is at 265 Willard Street.
Representation.
Get it done. Question number one, just right out of the gate. Is the NCAA tournament losing its juice?
No.
No?
Not at fucking all.
Yeah, I think this is more of a personal issue for people. I haven't really watched it all. Conference tournament last week, tuned in a little bit. I just know the favorite's Duke right now, and Florida basketball's kind of back.
Yes,
very. Would like to see a little bit more. Right now I have...
Do you think it's losing its juice?
I just don't... Maybe it's because I'm getting like a little older where I don't really care about college basketball. But I'll get more into it tomorrow. I mean, I'm working from home tomorrow. I'll probably see some games on my break.
It's fucking electric. The first game ended on a fucking like full court pass buzzer beater, dude.
So right now you have Duke as the favorites at +290, fall by SEC teams, Florida, Auburn. Then Houston's always in it. Dude, that head coach always has... That's a top-notch program. They're always 100%. Doing well. Oh, wow. SEC's been really good this year because you got Bama, Tennessee. St. John's, Rick Pitino, returned to Providence. I think that's where their site is. I don't know when they're playing, but look out for the Red Storm. I think they're a 2-seed.
Yes. They've had a great year.
Yeah, looking forward to them. They're 22-1 to win it all.
Anyone's game. It's March Madness.
Yeah, I'm not going to like step out and be like, hey, you should take this team with these odds, like a bold take, because I don't think I know enough to where I'm doing it. But, I mean, there's 16 games tomorrow. You don't think I'm going to take all of them?
Yeah. See, that's what I'm saying. Losing, it's fucking, like, what are you talking about?
Yeah. Until you hit it. I mean, that's what it is. All the gambling stuff makes it worthwhile. How about Gonzaga Bulldogs at 50-1? Is that a crazy take? Well, they're an 8 seed, so maybe that they're... Maybe their history just like keeps them in the odds hunt.
Maybe that's what they've needed.
Yeah.
Being the 1 or 2 seed all those years and just choking. Maybe they got to be the 8.
I know it's just not UConn's year. I just know it's not 125-1. They just,
well, yeah.
They lost to Creighton. I mean, they're back-to-back champs.
They didn't stand a chance to tip off this season. And I'm like UConn like fan. Yeah. You're not going to three-peat March Madness.
No.
Like, get the fuck out of here. They didn't stand a chance all year.
I mean, their leading guy is Alex Caravan. He played in Massachusetts. But
that's what was tough about looking at my bracket, because I was like, I haven't had to like think about who was going to win in 2 years. Like, I picked you. Like, there was no like doubt in my mind. It was UConn the past 2 seasons.
Now, if like, I don't know how you don't pick Duke. Duke clearly has the best player in the tournament, has a really good team.
Rolled his ankle, though.
Yeah.
Is he going to be 100%?
Yeah. I mean, no one's 100% at this point of the season. But
if he's less than most.
if you were to sit him against the 16 seed, I don't think they'd knock you for it.
That's exactly how you lose to the 16 seed.
You're right. I've been hearing, when you go into the tournament, no one really knows too much about the mid-major, the low tier. But I've been hearing a lot about the UC San Diego Tritons. Been hearing a lot. I think they only have 4 losses on the year. They're playing Michigan to open it up. Could be an upset.
Yeah.
Could be an upset. Or it could be domination. Local team, Bryan Bulldogs in the mix. Let's see. They're 75-1 to get to the Sweet 16.
Hey.
70, was that right? Yeah, 75-1 to win 2 games.
Hey, get at it.
15 seed, though. Let's not get nuts. You ain't get nuts? Let's get
nuts. March Madness. Yeah.
And then the Kansas Jayhawks, who...
has his team.
Yeah, I mean, that's just been my team over the years.
No, I'm the UConn guy.
They got Dickerson still. I think he's last year. I think he's going to the league next year. They are a +185 to make the Sweet 16. I think that's pretty good valuable money, depending where they are in the
Wait, so Bryant has better odds than Kansas?
No. They.
Oh, did I hear that wrong?
75-1.
So okay. Yep, I heard it wrong.
Yep. But overall, seems like it's going to be an exciting tournament. So that answer to that question is no. Fuck the haters.
Yes.
Okay. Question number 2 here. What non-popular sport would you rather be a pro in?
Non-popular.
I think I'd rather...
Curling.
Curling? Yeah. You would be...
100%.
Just like drinking a beer. Mine is being like the best ping pong player of all time.
You
in the Olympics and just fucking smoke. This is hypothetical. I'm not going to be it. But I saw what they did in the Summer Olympics and those women were unbelievable.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, like, because like curling definitely takes talent that I'm like unaware of, but I feel like you can kind of like learn it. Like, there's some fucking like shit that's just born into those fucking ping pong players. Like at the elite, like that shit's crazy.
But if you're like an elite American at ping pong, you can market yourself so heavy. Like it's such a relatable sport. Like
on the face of every paddle,
everyone plays it. Yeah. Like I just think that it would not just from the sport, but like outside of it, you'd be cashing checks.
Yeah.
Number three, animal you'd like to be in another life if you were an animal.
There's so many.
Yeah, I mean, at first, if I'm an animal, I don't really want to be anyone's pet. That's just not the way I want to do business. I'm gonna get nuts. I'm gonna go like Komodo dragon because like no one really fucks with those, and you fuck everything up.
I might go kangaroo.
Kangaroo, those things can get mean.
Hop around and I could fuck someone up if you fuck with me.
That's not bad.
Maybe an anaconda.
Oh, wow. Shut up, movie.
Yeah. Ice Cube.
What would Magic Mike be?
I don't know.
Just an orangutan just going.
Something, yeah. Going something, bananas. Yeah, something like a primate, I would
yeah,
think.
That's yeah, that's fair.
To make your pick.
Bucket list trip destination.
I not a big beach guy.
Not a big beach. Yeah, you.
So I'm going Scandinavia, Sweden, Norway, something like that. Finland.
Just ripping the pubs
up there, the fjords.
The fjords. That's what they call it.
No, that's not. Those aren't pubs. They're like giant, like riverway.
Oh, okay.
Mountain things.
could have fooled me.
Yeah.
Could have fooled me.
But I think that would be really cool.
I think a trip like Italy, like nice water. Beaches, I don't know. Kind of a boring question. I'll work on the questions going forward. But I don't know. Some good Italian food. I don't know. Pretty boring right there.
Australia's up there too for me.
Yeah, I just, the airfare for me, that's just a lot. That's a lot.
Well, yeah, it's bucket list shit.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, if you're going to go down to Brass Tacks.
I'm not asking you to get a fucking ticket tomorrow.
Yeah, I'd probably go to Hawaii then. Hawaii's a good one.
Yeah.
Really, you know, get it going. Amsterdam? Possibly you?
Possibly.
Possibly. And the last one, number five, do you believe in aliens?
Yes. I emphatically.
I don't think there's really an argument. I think there are, you know, life forms out there.
Yeah, 100%.
Walking
amongst us as well.
Walking amongst us. Maybe they've heard this show. Maybe they haven't. Do I know an alien? Probably not. Could I? Yeah.
Possibly you.
Possibly you. All right. Those were the five questions there presented by the Office of Patrick J. Foley. You know, maybe three of those were good. We'll get better.
All right.
We'll get
it's
better. All right. MLB season preview. All right, so we're going next week. The Red Sox start out in Texas, I believe. I think, yeah, that sounds right. Yeah, in Texas?
Texas.
They're going through their final roster cuts as we speak. They sent Vaughn Grissom down to Worcester, who was in competition at second base, which leads me to believe that we're going to see prospect Christian Campbell start second base opening day.
Mm.
So we went over these lineups a little bit. They're switching up. So for the Red Sox, 1-9, you got Duran in left, Devers DH, which finally he's come to his senses. He spoke with the team. He came on the media this week saying, you know, I'll do whatever the team wants me to do, which finally does. He's only played, I think he's played in a game or two in spring training. And then you have Bregman at third. Cassis, who has finally turned on a little bit. Trevor Story's had a good spring training. Can he stay healthy? Willier Bray, who coming off an injury, he could be the starting right fielder. If not, maybe Rob Ref Snyder. Bottom line, I think Roman Anthony and Marcelo Meyer, two of the three, you know, top prospects are going to start the season off in AAA. And that's fine, man. It's a 162-game season. I don't think there's a big rush to bring these kids up. Even Christian Campbell at second, I just think he's earned his time. He's going to go there. And then Seden Raviello, who I think is a complete game changer for this team because he, with his versatility, his underrated power, getting on base, I think this lineup is locked heavy.
Sucks.
I think they could be in the mix to make the playoffs. I think that's on the table. Garrett Crochet, right now, if you were to give him a deal, I think it would be around 5 for 110, 115. I think if you wait till after the season, because he did said say once game one starts, he's not, you know, going into negotiations until half of the season. I think you give him the bag now because he'll get over 200 when he has a good year this year. Tanner Houck, Walker Buehler round out the top three in the rotation. Then you have guys in Brian Bayo, Cutter Crawford, and Lucas Giolito who can be a part of this rotation but are all on the disabled list right now. You have Richard Fitz and Quinn Priester who have been pretty good this spring training. Again, it's spring training. But seems like I like what they have going with the team. They might be naming Aroldis Chapman as their closer, though, which I don't like.
Good.
I don't like that at all. Another big shout-out. Again, I think this is my third straight podcast. Sean Newcomb could find his way into the rotation sooner or later. Has only allowed one run in like 20 innings in spring training. Hoping the best for the Middleborough product.
Yeah, good for him. Good for him.
Apparently he's a Brockton native. I think I got that wrong with the Middleborough High School. But either way, seems like the team's looking up this year. Looking forward to it. Finally going to have some competing baseball, hopefully.
Hopefully.
On the Yankee side, Red Sox fans, you can hang up and listen if, you know, you got your guys. Clearly, you're out without your ace for the season. Gerrit Cole's down with the Tommy John.
Which, the one good thing of that is they didn't do typical Yankee bullshit where they're like, we'll see how he is in, like, June and fucking, like,
and push it
they
back.
would just do it. And I like that. So we'll be back next year.
And now Giancarlo Stanton, I think he's going to be up for a significant amount of time.
No one fucking cares.
No one cares. Cody Bellinger hitting, like, close to 500 in spring training. Again, spring training.
Spring training, but there's no way that short porch doesn't help that man's career.
Oh, for sure.
No way it doesn't.
And I think that's going to benefit Jazzy Chisholm, too. I think he's going to have a good year. Yankees definitely favored to win the AL East still. Austin Wells going to lead off. I was watching a little bit because the Sox played the Yankees yesterday in spring training. Watched a little bit. Tell you, too.
He looks good. And yeah. It's crazy because he's got like he's a mustached catcher. And I don't know, he just, like, looks like he's, like, a 35-year-old fucking, like, veteran. Not, like, a fucking rookie.
Yeah, we did say a month ago that Marcus Stroman wasn't going to be in the rotation, but now he's slotted at number three. Thoughts on that?
Well, he fucking has to be, kind of.
Yeah. So, tough go.
Like, once the ace goes down, you're kind of shuffling it around until you, like, really figure it out, you know what I mean? Like, there's going to be some ups and downs. Hill's hurt as well, yeah. Luis Hill.
I mean, including the... No one's really talking about the Blue Jays, too. Like, the Blue Jays have a dynamite lineup. They have three good pitchers in Berrios, Gosman, and Chris Bassett, who was... Oh, and Max Scherzer. You go down the list. That's a pretty deep team if they... You know, every team is going to deal with injuries. That's, like, an after-the-fact, like, excuse. So I think it's a four-man... Like, not four-man race to win it, but four teams that are playoff caliber... I'm already taking the Rays out. They're playing a spring training fucking facility this year. But
Orioles some tough luck already too. I think Gunnar Henderson, he had like six at bats, and he injured something, and he's out for like a bit.
Yeah.
Not like season ending or anything, but like he will not be leading off opening day. I'm pretty sure they've already said.
Well, that's the scary thing in the Orioles. Even if it's not their year this year, they have a handful of years to get it. Because these guys, Jackson Holliday is 21. Everyone out on this roster outside of probably Cedric Mullins is under 25 years old.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And they're all fucking good.
Yep. And they're all really good players. You know, the rotation, they lost,
Corbin Burns.
Corbin Burns. I was going to say Barnes. Zach Eflin was good on Tampa a couple years ago. Charlie Morton is a 40-year-old, you know, curveballer.
I was about to say, if that curveball still spins, he's still useful.
Yeah.
I don't think you really like him at two.
I saw him pitch against the Sox in spring training this year, and I think it was like a four-pitch inning. Which is great. I was like,
so it spins.
Yeah, so it still spins. A lot of teams, you know, with postseason aspirations. My prediction for the Red Sox is, you know, I think they're going to make the playoffs. I think this is a team where if you just stay consistent with your starting pitching, if you find a way to get, you know, work a guy where, okay, there's going to be the eighth inning guy, there's going to be the closer. Once you start working in, you know, a regular routine instead of being like, okay, we're going to name this guy. It's such a long season to, like, making predictions for baseball is almost kind of stupid.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, I agree. And I think for the Yankees, I think. I still very much think playoffs. I think Cole going down very much hurt, like, achieving anything.
Yeah. Well, you got that team over in L.A., too. That team's... Whew.
No, there's nothing other than your personal fandom to, like, pick someone other than the Dodgers to win the World Series.
Yeah.
There is no, like, logical way to fucking be like, this team's going to win, not the Dodgers. Like, you can't do that.
Yeah.
Like, the Dodgers, like, if you're being honest, the Dodgers, on paper, are winning the World Series again.
They should.
Yeah.
they should be without doubt. Going to have some MVP picks here. You know, right out of the chute, you have Aaron Judge, reigning MVP, right?
Yes.
So he's at plus 300. Then you got Witt, Henderson, Corey Seager, Vladimir Guerrero Jr., Jordan Alvarez. So, I mean, it's really like just like a coin flip here. Yeah. Aaron Judge is going to have to play well for this team to be as successful as they were last season. Bobby Witt, that team kind of goes the way he goes. So that's another good, you know, candidate. And then you send Corey Seager at plus 1,100. You know, they had a bad year last year. They won the World Series the year before. They have healthy guys returning. That's my sleeper team. And I don't think they're too much of a sleeper. I mean, when you have Nate Eovaldi, who's won a couple ships now, and you have Jacob DeGrom, who's coming back off injury.
As long as you get him sustainably, though.
Yeah. And then if you're college baseball fans now, their backside of the rotation is Leiter, Jack Leiter, and Kumar Rocker. Both Vandy guys.
Vandy studs.
So if they give you guys anything, that's going to be a team to watch. I mean, out of there, I'd probably go with Bobby Witt just because I think he's one of the future, if not faces of baseball. I think that's just a good pick.
Great player.
Aaron Judge is like picking the Dodgers for the World Series. It's like, all right, like probably going to have 50 jacks. How good is that team going to be?
Yeah, his numbers might dip because they had to pitch to Soto before him, so they might dip a little bit. But if Bellinger rakes, that will change. Obviously, Bellinger's not Juan Soto, but if him and Paul Goldschmidt have bounced back years, that's still a very formidable.
Yeah,
you know, like 2-5.
Oh, for sure. And then on the other side, the NL MVPs, obviously Shohei Ohtani said plus 145. That's like as lowest as I've ever seen an MVP favorite going into a season. Like that's absurd. He hit a home run. Did he hit a home run? Was that today?
I think he hit it yesterday. I think he probably hit one today too.
Yeah,
I didn't see.
Juan Soto sits behind him at plus 550. Again, another great player, walks a lot. So
right,
that's tough when it comes to MVP. I mean, he's probably going to have like 30 and 100 regardless. OBP is going to be great. Tatis, that's an interesting name. Mookie Betts, if Mookie Betts gets it over Shohei, I'd be fucking surprised. Then you guys have guys like Bryce Harper. No one's really talking about the Phillies with the Dodgers overtaking them. Kyle Tucker's on this list, who just got acquired by the Cubs.
Why?
Yeah, I don't know why he's sixth on there.
He's a good player, but I don't know.
But come on, people, come on. I mean, the easy picks, Ohtani there. Would like to see maybe my boys over in San Diego get a nice MVP in Fernando Tatis Jr.
Yeah, I mean, just think about it. The one player in history that went 50-50 season can now pitch again.
And he's like, he's like
that's
be an MVP.
So fucked up. Like that's just so crazy.
And they have the two guys from Japan who's a Yasaki and Yamamoto.
Yeah.
And
that other kid's supposed to be like the best of them
all.
And
they have the guy from the Rays. They have
Glasnow.
Yeah, who's a stud.
Yeah, Cy Young caliber.
So like they're insane. Kershaw is their probably sixth starter.
And he's like the second best pitcher like ever.
They were doing comparisons with him and like Verlander, and they're practically the same numbers. I'm like crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. World Series picks. I mean, Dodgers are at plus 240 here. I have them beating my sleeper team that's at plus 1900. If it goes to this matchup, I will cash them out in the World Series. But like I said, the Texas Rangers have juice that people are forgetting about. that, you know, great postseason 2 years ago. They were, you know, met with injuries this past season with their pitching staff. I think they're going to come back. And I outside of like with Gerrit Cole going down, with, you know, different guys getting hurt, I think the AL and Houston getting worse, I think the AL is wide open.
Oh, definitely. The AL is absolutely wide open.
Like, the Yankees are favored here at plus 900, the top team in the AL, and then followed by Baltimore, Houston, Boston, Texas. So, I mean, if you're throwing Boston, Houston, and Texas in the same sentence, you really don't know who's going to fucking win this thing.
No, absolutely. And that should probably be closer with Cole being down. I mean, that might be updated. I don't know, but.
You know, I just did this live. Atlanta's up there as the team that the second favorite odds to win the World Series in the whole league, tied with the Yankees here. Philly's right behind them. So, I like the Dodgers against the Rangers. Boring. That's boring. Sleeper team is the Rangers. Sleeper NL team, I would probably say, is the San Diego Padres, because you're going to play them in division. If they get an upper leg on them, they could be have the opportunity just to get it going.
Yeah, of course. I mean, fucking the Dodgers the year before they actually won, they got swept. You know what I mean? Like, and they were slightly worse. Like, they didn't have Shohei, but they were still just as much supposed to win the World Series. Like,
yeah, it was a close series last year between the Padres and Dodgers.
Yeah,
it was a tough go there. Bold predictions for the season. Got any bold predictions? Anything on your radar?
Oakland A is going to be good.
Oakland A, Sacramento A's.
Sacramento, yeah.
I guess they're just
That's
called.
That's going to take a while.
I guess they're just called the A's.
Well, the A's, good.
Yeah. Why don't they just like play? There's a minor league in Vegas. Like, I don't get why they just don't play in Vegas.
Yeah. I don't know.
I don't know. My bold prediction goes back to the Red Sox. Garrett Crochet, AL Cy Young.
Gross.
Bucket. Plus 500.
Yeah, you're lucky. Nail it. Cole's gone.
Nail it. Can't wait. Yeah, I am lucky Cole's gone. But I'm telling you right now, within a week, they should give this guy a contract, because I think, at, you know, I can't. Everyone has to deal with injuries, but this guy's throwing 101. I know everyone throws 100 miles an hour nowadays, but this guy's going to be a bad man this year. I'll tell you that right now.
I do very much love the, I do respect the, like, inning one starts, like, it's the season now. Stop talking to me about contracts.
Yeah, no,
I love
that. I would, if I was a stud like that, I wouldn't eat. Like,
don't bother me.
And if you were him, I would hold out. I would be like,
I mean, that's probably where it is. Yeah, that's probably where the disconnect is.
I would hold out for more money. I would bet on my, that guy's that good, where you should bet on yourself.
Yeah. I know, but it is scary with pitches, dude. It's one pitch. You're one pitch away from this thing going.
Yeah. Yeah. He got him from the White Sox. Hopefully we don't, see what the other White Sox guy that came in, Chris Sale, where he helped us win a World Series, but other than that, he was kind of disappointment in Boston. And then leaves, wins NL Cy Young year after. Yeah, just dealt with injuries the whole time.
Yeah, that was like the bottom 3 years. The first two, he was like fucking incredible.
It was only just 1 year.
No.
If you go back, let me bring it up. I'll pull it up. Chris Sale. Let's see, am I wrong? Let's see, innings. Boom.
17 and 8, 12 and 4. So it's two good years.
So two good years. All right, I'll give you that. But other than that, yeah, after the World Series, he went bye-bye. And then he fell off that bike.
Yeah, yeah. But then he returned last year to
and
Chris Sale.
And legit won the Cy Young.
Yeah.
Yeah. He just needed a different change of scenery.
Oh, yeah, no, him, like, when he was coming back from injury, he was like looting his fastball, and he was going to beat on that. Like, that slider is going to be unhittable till he's dead.
Yeah.
Like, as long as that thing's moving, he's going to be good. But he got his velocity back, and he won the Cy Young. Go figure.
Go figure is right. Magic's texting saying, should he come? I'm saying just about done. Because we kind of have the Celtics recap here. And there's not too much to recap. Watch a good game last night where both Jays didn't play. Baylor Shireman comes off the bench, was labeling
Baylor threes.
Did you see that three in the corner where he didn't even put his hand down?
Yeah.
It was unbelievable.
No, my favorite one was the one he fucking off the inbound. Like when They took the one away from him.
Oh,
and with like 3 seconds left, and then he threw it in. I think it was Kristaps. Yeah. Got chucked it back to him, and then banged it again, and they just fucking walked off the court.
But he banked the one that didn't count, and then I don't even think it hit the rim, the one actually counted. Great. I actually love when the Jays don't play, because it makes unsung heroes like that have to stand up. And you know what? It gives guys like that, if you need minutes from a guy like that in the playoffs, you have confidence from that game to put a guy like that in.
Yeah.
I mean, Peyton Pritchard is going to be the sixth man of the year. I think there's no doubt about that. But, you know, he started, you know, got some minutes. Derek White has become a catalyst when he, you know, gets his, you know, time without the Jays on the court. And Kristaps came back last night. I think he had 20, 15, and 5 or something like that.
He had a big game.
Beat Brooklyn twice. You play the Jazz. Okay, so they start a West road trip tomorrow too, I think. At least they play the Jazz. Yeah, you got the Jazz, Portland, Sacramento. You got Phoenix, San Antonio, Memphis. So 6-game road trip where it's honestly kind of, you're not playing the LA team, so it is kind of soft. Like, Phoenix has had a tough year. San Antonio has dealt with injuries.
Are there like concerts at the Garden?
Yeah, I don't know.
Bruins are a 5-game road trip. Celtics are a 6-game road trip. Something happening at the Garden?
I hope so. Events at the Garden.
Yeah, like that's almost like 2 weeks of just nothing at the Garden, sports wise.
Let's see. We have. I'll go to Game Time. Shout out to Game Time. We have Hockey East semifinals and Hockey East championship this weekend. Then we have the World Figure Skating Championships.
Wow, that's literally what it is.
That's literally what it is. And then you get the Bruins right after, the week later. So, yep, it's the... So, if you're looking...
World Figure Skating Championships.
Yep.
Buckle up.
Rhythm dance, women's free program, free dance, Paris free. I'm sure these are just, like, styles. Hockey East. Who's in the Hockey East semis right now? Hockey East semifinals. Had to be BC or BU. All right, so, okay. Opening round. Hockey East quarters. Oh, Northeastern won. Are these series or are these? Hockey East semifinals. It's UConn versus BU at 4 o'clock. Then you have Northeastern against Maine. So you have a potential beanpot championship matchup in the Hockey East final.
Yeah, love to see it.
And I don't think... I'd be surprised if Northeastern had a huge year where they would get an at-large bid in the NCAA tournament. So, I mean, they upset BC. BC is like a top 10 team. I know that for sure. So, Whitehead stops 30 as Northeastern. All right, so the goalie came to play. Did our guy Jack Williams score a goal?
I wonder how UConn is.
Jack Williams got an assist. Jack Williams was on the program last year. Biddeford made. UConn... Let's see, UConn. I don't think it's getting me there. Just UConn, fuck it. UConn is... this woman's now. Billy Jaffe. He'll be on the collar.
Love that.
He'll be on the collar. 101.
Friend of the pod. All right, carry on.
Nope, I want to see how UConn's doing this year. They're 21-10-4, not a bad record.
No.
Probably not good enough to get you the NCAA tournament.
No, so it's a huge games for them.
Huge game. BU is number 10, at least number 10 here. Northeastern's not even ranked. So, yeah. So I'm thinking UConn and Northeastern aren't even in the picture for March Madness hockey, call it.
One of the most underrated tournaments.
Yep.
College hockey, March Madness, unreal. That tournament's great every year.
I wish they had more teams than 16. I think it's only 16.
I think it is only
16. Yeah, so it's 2 weekends. Dog stays in. Magic Mike talking here. I was just going to tell the dog stays in. Couple barks. Yell. Attaboy.
Yeah, I saw that. I don't know what that means.
Yeah. We'll wrap up here. I want to give a quick shout out to the law office of Patrick J. Foley. If you're looking for a legal proper representation, look no further than 265 Willow Street, Quincy, Mass. For all of your real estate closings for first-time home buyers. Also want to give big shout out to Hedge Better helping us do what we do. Didn't turn the lights on tonight. I think we still look pretty good though. We're vibing. That's on us. That's producer producer Justin's the best. No, it's not a close second. We're at episode 184. We got 16 till we hit the big 2-0. So 2-0-0, whatever you call it. 2-0-0.
March Madness, go Florida.
Bark.
Bark. Oh, okay. From Magic. Yep.